is Christian Questions.
Somebody once said, promises are like babies. Easy to make, hard to deliver. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose, with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. And Jonathan, you're back.
Yes, I am.
You know,
Kathy did a great job filling
in. She
did.
She did a great job filling in, and we certainly did miss you last week, but you're back here, and what is the topic for today?
Well, before that, Julius mentioned about this being a bad habit that I'm not showing up here. I heard
that. So you were listening.
Oh, I was.
Uh-huh. So you're far enough away to not be here, but yeah, close enough to still listen.
Yes, with the iPhone.
And listen on the iPhone. So that means you could be anywhere and listen
on
your iPhone. Because, you know, folks, you can do that. You can listen on your iPhone to Christian Questions live every Sunday morning from 7 to 9, no matter where you are.
That's right.
But anyway, well, I digress.
Back to our question.
Back to the question.
Well, Rick, here it is. How reliable are your promises? And our theme text comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But according to his purpose, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
All right, and we have all had the experience of making or receiving a promise that wasn't kept. Now, when you think about it, the experience actually is a very sad one. For with a broken promise comes some level of a damaged trust toward the one who did not deliver. Over time, this can lead to all kinds of deep and permanent damage to our relationships. So, what makes a promise? How do we better keep our promises? And what about God? What has he promised us? And is he keeping his promises? Folks, stay with us. It may sound like it's a real simple little subject. Oh, okay, they're talking about promises, nothing big. This is one of the biggest things you could ever talk about.
That's a good point, Rick.
Because all of life, in many ways, is built around the concept of promises. So, we're looking at the idea of promises and how they work, and we want to put it all in perspective. And
but Rick, are some promises more breakable than others? Do they all have to be kept?
Well, and that's a good question. Do we have to keep all of our promises? Are there different kinds of promises? Are different styles of promises? Are there different times when some promises are made to be broken? I mean, you've heard that phrase, right?
Yes, I have.
And I don't think that that's true at all. So, in some ways, Jonathan, I think promises are kind of old-fashioned in our world.
I think you're right.
Because we are so self-absorbed now that making and keeping promises, well, you know, if it's not just for me and my own best benefit, then, you know, who cares?
Is it really that important?
So just to get started, let's put this to some music. And this is old music. I'm not sure when this is from, but it's a scratchy record recording.
Yeah, you can hear the needle.
Yeah, yeah. It's a song, an oldies called, and we're just going to do the first verse, Promises Are for Keeping.
That is old-fashioned.
That is old. And, you know, it just makes me smile because it's such an old song, and it's talking about, you know, promises are for keeping and broken hearts for weeping. Please tell me, darling, which will it be? Basically, please keep your promise. And in the world in which we live, that kind of conversation just doesn't seem to exist nearly as much as it used to.
You're right, Rick.
So, folks, we're talking about promises. We'd love to get your thoughts, your input on your experience with promises. Have you ever had to live through a broken promise, or have you ever broken a promise, and what did you do to fix it? We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or time.
All right. So, Jonathan, there are three basic groups of promises, according to Scripture. And we're going to get almost oversimplify it at this point. The first basic group of promises is a self-committal without any kind of ceremony. Just, you're making a statement, and you're expecting that statement to be upheld.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 1:4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
So now when you say you're given these exceeding great and precious promises, where do those promises come from?
From God's Word.
And the word here just simply means self-committal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So it's basically saying God is saying it, and we're expecting God to fulfill it.
That's right.
There's nothing more than that. And we can make those same kinds of promises to other people.
We can.
You know, I promise to be here next Sunday morning on time.
Good. I'd be worried there, brother.
And it's saying something without having to have any kind of anything else other than your word backing it up.
Except I would end that statement with, by God's grace or with God's help.
Okay, all right.
I'll be here on time next week.
So you're saying that if God's grace didn't allow, you wouldn't be here on time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting. We'll need to take that up as we go. So that's the first kind of promise, and that's the most common. You're making a commitment based on your word. You know, the old phrase, my word is my bond.
Yes.
So that's what that kind of promise is. Jonathan, as we go through the program, there's a few things we're sort of, some threads of thinking we're going to lay out. This is from howcast.com, and this is just an introduction on how to keep a promise. And this has got some really good points as we're going to touch on it as we go through the program. But here's just a very brief introduction.
How to keep a promise. Keeping a promise offers many rewards. Highlight your impressive moral character by following through on a promise you made to yourself or to someone else. You will need a pen and paper, organization, and commitment.
That's it.
That's organization. Getting ready.
You need a pen and paper. So we're going to be talking about promises and keeping promises. And really, it's something that we ought to really be very, very serious about. And you need a pen and paper, you need to be organized, so get ready to go. Because there's a lot of very practical things that we're going to learn from Howcast, as well as we're going to learn from putting it to a scriptural background, as well as look at personal experiences. So we've got that first level of promises, self-committal, mm-hmm. I say it, therefore I will do it.
Right.
And you hopefully would have... respect and hold respect and value in my word, saying that, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, Rick said it, so it should be good.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, if you didn't, then I'd have to ask myself, well, how come he doesn't believe me? Well, seriously.
How many times have I not followed through?
Right. So is my word not good enough? And that's a whole area that we're going to begin to get into.
Sure.
The second level of self-committal, what's the difference here? The first one was just your word.
Mm-hmm.
The second level
is a covenant.
Okay, a covenant, especially in biblical times, had ceremony attached to it.
Right.
So it was the kind of promise where there is a ceremony built around the promise.
Like a solemn compact or agreement.
Right. And actually the word covenant, which is, again, very old-fashioned word, comes from the Old Testament, literally means in the sense of cutting. Now you're saying, well, what the heck are you talking about?
Are you talking about the sacrifices, the cutting?
Yeah, and because here's what would happen. First of all, just going through the definition, a covenant could be made between men.
Okay.
And again, you said it was a solemn compact or agreement
between nations.
Right, tribes or nations. In making such a covenant, God was solemnly invoked as a witness.
Ah, okay.
So now you have something coming in, something extra here, and there were certain promises made in the scriptures where they were talked about as a covenant of Jehovah or a covenant of God.
Okay.
Which means that God was invited in to witness the promise.
But what happens if one of these promises were broken when you invoked the name of God?
Right, you're asking God to be a witness to the promise, and that's kind of what a marriage is. A marriage is a promise made in the presence of God. That's what they always say.
That's right.
You know, before God and these witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling God in to witness this promise. So if you're going to break this promise...
It's a heinous sin.
It is. It is not good. And the word cutting literally means that in the Old Testament, what they used to do is they would sacrifice an animal, and they literally cut the animal in half, and then they would spread the two halves out, and the people making the promise, the covenant, would pass in between the two halves of the animal.
Wow.
So it was a ritual that made it much more solemn. Malachi 2:14, just on the promise of marriage being one of those types of covenants.
Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against you whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant.
So this is talking about God witnessed your marriage. You have dealt with your wife treacherously.
Which is a sin.
Which is a great, great, great sin. So that's another level of promise. You're invoking God in to watch over this promise and essentially to bless the promise.
Gotcha.
So that's something different than simply giving your word. You're going to the higher power here now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to another soundbite quickly to sort of lay some more groundwork. We're going to follow this story throughout a good part of the program. This is a story about Locke High School in California. It was a high school that was a mess. The kids weren't learning. They weren't attending class. There was violence. There was gangs and all kinds of stuff. This is from the USED.org website, the story of Locke High School.
Before the transition, Locke was a pretty chaotic place. Wasn't much learning going on. Kids ran the school. Gangs ran the school. It was an uncomfortable place to be for an adult, let alone a kid.
Teachers were really, I'd say, lazy. They would just sit down, read a book or something, and just tell people, oh, copy the board.
Before, you could just walk out of school and they wouldn't say anything. They would just ignore you.
Kids were feeding off the negativity and the dissension and the aimless wandering and...
So you get a sense that there was not a good learning environment there.
That's right. And we're going to be going back, as you said, throughout the program on this. But you also want to go to CQ Rewind on this, Rick, because there's a lot of background on Locke High School that we just don't have time to talk about.
Right, right. And it's a very inspiring story of keeping a promise, essentially, to the education of the children.
So to go to ChristianQuestions.net. And sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, to get the text and the background on this high school.
Right, because that's in the bonus material. It's only available on the the full edition. Jonathan, the third type of promise is a self-committal to God.
It's a vow.
Right. Now, this is a promise made directly to God. And the word for vow means a promise. But Deuteronomy 23, 21, and 22 really sort of puts that the level of this promise in perspective.
When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you.
So this is saying, if you make a promise to God, he will surely require it of you.
Whoa.
Yeah, good response. Whoa. And because what you're saying, you know, we make a promise to one another, and if we break the promise, well, sometimes there's disappointment.
And sorry.
Yeah, you know. You don't want to be disappointing the Lord God Almighty.
No, you do not.
So when you make a vow to God, the scripture is saying you had better keep that promise. So we've got three different kinds of promises, just the giving of your word, a covenant with ceremony before God, and then a promise made directly to God. So the beginning of promises is on the table.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? When Peter denied Jesus, he really let a friend down. Have you ever done that? Where did he go wrong? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And again, Jonathan, this may sound like an easy little subject, but this is one of the deepest subjects that I think we will ever talk about, because when you make a promise, it's supposed to be something that is absolutely kept. And we were talking just during the break how that just doesn't happen so much anymore.
It doesn't.
Right, from world leaders on down.
That's right.
To everybody around us, making promises is just, okay, so I couldn't do it. Well, you know, what are you going to do about it? Really, that's where we've gone to, and what a tragedy.
I was thinking of some excuses that I would say is, I forgot. Oh, did I say that? I didn't have time.
Yeah,
you know, those are the ones that actually always come out.
Yeah, or something else came up.
Yep.
Okay, so your word is not that important and something else came up to override it. Grr. Before we get into breaking promises, let's just read a couple of very significant promises that were made in the scriptures. And they don't use the words "I promise," but the way they're phrased, it gives you a sense of a very strong commitment to action.
And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, and to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God."
And so this is the story of Ruth and Esther, and when you think about what she's saying, that, look, don't make me leave you, even though my husband died, and, you know, you're telling me go, you know, I'm young, I can still go find another husband. She's saying, no, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to live where you live. Your people are going to be my people. She's not saying, oh, I promise, I promise, I promise, but you get a sense
of... But that is
that
a promise.
And she did it.
She did.
She absolutely did it. And there's something of great value when somebody says something and then actually does
yes.
what they say. John 15, 13 and 14.
Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
So Jesus is making a promise here about laying down his life.
But, Rick, this is also conditional.
Ah, there is an if in there, isn't there?
That's right. If you do whatever I command you.
Right. And, you know, now, if we were to say that to our friends, we'd be looked at like, what, are you crazy? But we're not perfect and we're not Jesus.
No.
He could say that.
Yes.
We can't. And we're going to get to the conditional part of promises coming up very, very soon. Remember last segment we touched on how cast and laid the groundwork for, okay, how do you keep a promise?
Right.
Okay, well, we're going to get some very short soundbite blasts from Howcast. Here's step one.
Step one, write down promises you have made to yourself and to others on a piece of paper. Break down big promises into smaller steps.
Okay, simple. Write it down. And you think, well, you know, I'll remember. No, you won't. If we write it down, it firms up the commitment in our own mind.
Good point.
Because whenever you think about something, that's one level of commitment. When you say it, it's another level of commitment. When you write it, now you're getting to a point of real serious commitment.
Good point.
So write it down.
A simple step.
Right. And break down bigger promises into smaller steps. Folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255, toll free. 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. We're talking about promises, how to make and how to keep promises. And what do you do when promises are broken?
If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. Also, check out CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, the full edition is available by email sign-up only. That includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus the bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Check it out. It's free of charge. Just sign up at ChristianQuestions.net.
CQ Rewind, only available at ChristianQuestions.net, and it is a free service with no obligation. We do it because we want you to have the material. It's simple, as that. Everybody who works on that is a volunteer, and they do it because they love the scriptures and they love the message and they want you to have it in your hands. So go there, ChristianQuestions.net, sign up. Let's talk about, you'd mentioned at the end of the last segment, Peter, the Apostle Peter, breaking a promise to Jesus.
That's right.
Let's take a look at that, at how Jesus knew it was going to happen first. This is Matthew 26, 31 to 35.
Then Jesus said unto them, "All ye shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter answered and said unto him, "If all shall be offended in thee, I will never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter saith unto him, "Even if I must die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples.
So it's interesting because Jesus says that it is written. So now, first of all, he's quoting an Old Testament prophecy.
Right.
It is written, the shepherd, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So he's quoting a prophecy and applying it to himself.
But Peter's contradicting the prophecy.
Right, right.
Oops.
Well, and you think about it, if, you know, you love your Lord and Master Jesus.
Of course.
And you have literally left all to follow him. And now you're being told that you're gonna desert him, and your emotion says, "Oh no! Wait!
Not me!
No, not me!" And we all know Peter was the boisterous one, was the forward one, was the outspoken one. He's the one who got out of the boat and walked on the water.
That's right.
Okay, so he said, "No, I am not leaving you. I'm just not." And Jesus had to put it all in perspective. But Peter essentially makes a promise.
He does.
He makes a very serious promise. "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." That's what he says. And again, is our word our bond? Now, I'm sure when Peter said those words,
he meant it, Rick.
Of course he did. But he was promising something that was beyond him, as we will see in just a few more minutes. So that this emphatic promise that Peter makes, and we fall into that same category.
Oh, we do.
The emotion of the moment puts us in a place where, well, this is what I'm going to do. That's it. This is what I'm going to do. But are you capable of following through? Let's go back to USED.org, story of Locke High School. And remember, the school was in a mess.
Yep, it was a bad place.
And this soundbite gives us some student and teacher reactions to the new Locke High School, because they changed some things, and here's their reactions to what the new place looked like.
A sweeping change was needed to change what was going on at Locke.
Since growing up, everybody knows everybody. Each grade has their own counselors, teachers. So it's very nice to be here. School.
We actually have grass now.
Yeah.
That's something I like never seen like since we've been at Locke. It's basically like a beautiful environment.
The teachers do care more about what we're doing overall. They want to see us succeed, and we want to succeed for them and for us.
I think the main difference that Green Dot has brought to Locke is the small learning community. The cornerstone of our success is in the fact that we are able to make relationships with students and have the students actually buy into themselves.
So now,
wow, what a change.
It is. It's a huge
transformation.
Change. And how that happened is an organization, a nonprofit organization called Green Dot came into the school and basically made a promise and said, we are going to create an environment where learning is first and foremost and students are important. And they took an environment where none of that was true.
Wow.
And they dismantled it and rebuilt it. And basically you're hearing now the students and the faculty looking back and saying, well, you know, it did make a massive, massive change. So somebody came in, made a promise, a big, big, big promise, and actually kept it.
Wow.
And that's inspiring.
That is.
Because it means it can be done. Oftentimes we don't necessarily follow through. And again, I think that too many times we look at promises as just words spoken to pacify the circumstance. You know, well, okay, I'll make a promise. If I don't get some, they'll forget anyway. What's the difference? And there is a difference. That's
there
the point.
Is.
There is a massive, massive difference. There's a great quote here, Jonathan, from Edmund Burke.
"Hypocrisy can afford to be magnificent in its promises, for never intending to go beyond promise, it costs nothing.
And so, really, if we are promising and not keeping, we are falling into the category of being hypocritical.
Exactly.
And that nobody likes to be called a hypocrite.
No.
So I think that sometimes we, in our own minds, we separate those things. Well, okay, I didn't keep that promise. It was just a little promise anyway. But does that mean... Yeah, right.
Wrong answer.
But does that mean you're hypocritical? And the answer is, yeah, because you said it, but you didn't do it.
How about Peter?
How about Peter?
His
okay.
Denial.
So Jesus told him very emphatically what was going to happen, and Peter very emphatically answers Jesus, no, no, no. That will not happen. Not here. Not on my watch. That's what Peter said.
That's what he said.
Let's go to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 65. We'll break this up into a couple pieces.
And they seized him and led him away and brought him unto the high priest's house. But Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and had sat down together, Peter sat in the midst of them. And a certain maid, seeing him as he sat at the fire light and looking steadfastly upon him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou also art one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not.
So here you have Peter, you know, you've heard the phrase, out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yes.
Well, here he is. You know, he was saying, no, I would never deny you. And he denies Jesus twice in a very short time.
That's right.
And Jonathan, it's interesting because lying is often the result of the breaking of a promise, which ends up requiring backup.
And when more lies.
Right.
Right. Because, it continues this
right.
line of lies.
Once you start to lie, the only way to truly back it up is to lie some more.
Who is the father of lies?
Satan is the father of lies.
Unfortunately, his lies have continued on. His first lie continues on to today.
It does. It does. And Peter fell into that situation where he said something and then somebody else challenged him on it. And he's got to lie again because otherwise it makes it sound like he lied. No, really, it does. So there's this conundrum inside of your head when you stop keeping a promise, when you are not true to yourself, and you're not true to those around you, and that's exactly what happened to Peter, and it is a very disturbing situation. Jonathan, I want to go to another soundbite. We got a lot of soundbites this morning because this is such an important subject. This is Ann Corwin. She's an author of children's books, and she's talking about teaching kids about making resolutions. And this is very, very good stuff in terms of how to put promises in the right perspective.
New Year's resolutions are not just for adults. This is actually the perfect opportunity to teach your kids the value of making and keeping promises. And what promises do is they build what's called basic trust. And as human beings, it's one of the highest priorities we have for survival, is being able to trust in others. It builds intimate, connective relationships with others. And of course, that's what you want to establish with your child. So you want to model what a promise is. So for example, if your child says, I'm going to take my new ball out to the cul-de-sac and I'm going to share it with everyone, I'm going to play with everybody out in the cul-de-sac. What you want to do is get down to their level, make that eye-to-eye contact with them and say, I think you just promised me something. You said you were going to take that new ball out and you were going to play with the kids in the neighborhood. That's great. I love that promise.
Such a very clear way of putting things in perspective.
It is.
You model to a small child what a promise is supposed to be. And folks, look, we may not be perfect at keeping our promises, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't teach our children to be as perfect as they can be keeping theirs.
And in this case, you're teaching integrity at
right.
an early stage.
Right, right.
Wow.
You just made a promise, and I love the fact that you made that promise, and I'm so excited that you're going to go keep that promise. You're getting the child excited about keeping their word. We live in a world, Jonathan, where people just don't.
You're right.
Keep their word. Now, we don't necessarily have time to read it all here, but in Luke 22, verses 59 through 62, Peter denies Jesus a third time.
That's right.
And after that third denial,
the cock crew.
Right. And Jesus looked at him. So he was close enough
to see
and to hear what had happened. So not only did Peter not live up to his promise, but he denied the promise within earshot and eyeshot of the one whom he promised. That's bad.
Oh.
And what was his reaction?
Heartbreaking.
It is. And it was heartbreaking for Peter.
He wept bitterly.
He did, because he realized how foolish he had been. He realized how weak he was. And folks, isn't that what happens to us when we break our promises? And if we have that integrity about those promises, don't we look over that and say, boy, I really messed up?
That's right.
I mean, it should break our heart when we break a promise.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? Coming up, has God kept all his promises? Can you think of any he didn't? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So as we look at promises, we were looking at the Apostle Peter and his breaking of a very big promise that he made. And it, not only was it a big promise, Jonathan, it was a promise made in the presence of all of the other apostles.
That's right.
And the other apostles agreed with him.
And said they also
right.
would do the same.
And so
not deny him.
And when he broke the promise, it was essentially in front of Jesus whom he had made that promise to. And you gotta think that if we are not heartbroken at the breaking of our promises, something's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Our conscience is not functioning correctly. Because our promise should be something that others can rely on. Again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. And that means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, ask your questions at ChristianQuestions.net or go to our Facebook or blog, or email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, you know, I'm thinking about it. We do get a lot of questions on the website that have to do with broken promises, because a lot of them have to do with broken relationships mm-hmm. and things like that. And when you trace it all back, it comes down to saying you're going to do one thing and doing something else.
Good point.
So it's a rampant problem that we're looking at. So all of that being said, does God keep his promises? And there are, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about different promises of God. We're going to talk about some, though, that maybe we don't think about too much here. Here are a few of the many promises of God, and these particular promises we're going to focus on this segment serve as a template for the types of promises that we have an opportunity ourselves to make and keep. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28, God makes a very specific promise.
God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
So God gives man dominion over the earth. Now, it doesn't say, and God promised them dominion.
No.
It says God gave them dominion.
Right.
So when God gives you something, he's giving it to you for you to keep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, the act of creation and his word were a promise to the human race of their dominion over the earth. This promise was given, and we still have it.
That's right, we do.
So God did not take that dominion. Now, we screwed it up pretty badly.
Good point.
Okay, but he did not take that dominion away. So it was a promise that he made because he said.
Mm-hmm.
And are our promises that powerful?
Silence.
Yeah, silence. Let's go back to Howcast. Remember, we were looking at how do you keep a promise. Again, a very short soundbite. The first one was, okay, first of all, you'll write it down. Here's the second step.
Step 2, organize your schedule in order to keep promises. Step 3, track the progress of your promises in a journal.
All right, so what it's saying is the promise should be important enough to, step 1, write it down. Step 2, organize your schedule so that you are making time and room and effort to keep the promise.
Right.
And now, step 3, track it.
How you doing?
Right. And again, a promise is not just a statement. A promise is a way of life.
It's a follow-through, too.
And if we don't have the follow-through, we didn't make a promise.
Mm-hmm.
All we did was breathe out
words.
Excess carbon dioxide. You know,
yep.
That's all we did. So now, some of God's promises have conditions attached. This can be seen as a two-edged promise, one that produces good on the side of conditions being met and the consequence on the side of conditions being violated. So God sometimes makes conditional promises, and if we keep it, everything is great, and if we don't keep it, everything is pretty bad.
Okay.
All right, and let's take a look at God's promise that has this condition attached in Genesis 2, 16 and 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
So God promises life everlasting to human beings. Think about that. On earth.
Wow.
That's what he promised.
What a promise.
Because he said, you can eat of this tree of life, and that meant live forever. What an open-ended, awesome promise.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was conditional.
But, right, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I'm telling you not to, so you can have that tree of life all you want, but if you eat of this other one, then you're going to die. And so he makes an awesome promise, but attaches a condition. And Adam defied the conditions and as a result was subject to death. And, you know, you think about it, God promised everlasting life as long as we, as humans, would abide by his rules.
Conditional.
So some promises must have conditions, rightfully so. Especially as a parent, when you make promises to your children, yes, I'll take you to the movies if you do, or if this happens. Those are important conditions.
Yes.
Now, what happens when in our lives when our children don't live up to it, but they say, "Oh, Dad, but I tried."
Please.
See, sometimes we bend where we ought not to.
Good point.
And so, and that affects integrity. Promises are built around integrity. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues next hour online and all through the week at ChristianQuestions.net. We're live Sunday mornings on demand with tons of topics to talk about in our featured audio archive, our CQ Rewind, our Facebook, and our blog, again, at ChristianQuestions.net.
Yeah, and you really, Julie and the Rewind crew did a tremendous job on the Rewind from last week about habits. And, you know, there's a method to our madness. We're talking about habits last week, and we're talking about keeping promises this week. It all kind of fits together because this is about what makes us be people of value. If we establish the right kinds of habits, and if we are promise keepers, and in the second hour especially, Jonathan, we're going to be talking about becoming better promise keepers. We're also going to be looking at some of the promises God has made to the entire world. I mean, he has made several promises to the entire world, even in this sinful state. And the question is, what are they, and is God keeping those promises?
Hmm.
So, folks, if we're not on in your area for the second hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net, click the Listen Live button, and you can stay with us as the conversation continues in that second hour online. So, Jonathan, let's look at some of God's promises here that are emphatic and multifaceted.
Whoa.
Again, a complicated promise is okay when it's coming from a source of integrity. This is Hebrews 6, verses 13 to 18.
And this is coming from God,
This
right?
is coming from God, yeah. Okay. And that's a good establishment here. Coming from God, a multifaceted promise to me is, well, that's good.
It works.
If I were to make a very complicated, multifaceted promise, others might look at it and say, well, you know, it's Rick. So, not to say that I don't keep my promises, because I certainly try. I'm not perfect, that's for darn sure, but I certainly try. But the more complicated it is, the harder it is to keep.
For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us.
So this is huge when you think about it. A lot of detail in those scriptures, but God made a promise to Abraham. And, you know, we know about that promise to Abraham, and thee and thy seed, all the families
of the earth will be blessed. They'll be as the stars of heaven and the sands on the seashore.
Right. So, and it was a very complicated promise that God not only made to Abraham, but restated to him several times.
And made it detailed.
Right. and restated to his son Isaac and restated to Jacob. So
that's right.
This was a promise that God was really firm on. And it says, because God could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. So God, look, the word of God is enough.
Yes.
But when God says, I swear to you by myself,
this is going
to
happen.
Then you know that there is an emphatic sense to this promise. Now, the promise to Abraham had a lot of pieces to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to multiply your seed and be like the stars of heaven and the sands of the seashore, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's a multifaceted promise that takes a long time.
Yes.
Okay, because you don't have kids like, 4,700 kids like tomorrow. So it says that the idea that this multifaceted promise was put in place, God, there were two immutable things, God's oath and his word.
That's right.
So that way it had to be kept. And it says here that Abraham obtained the promise. Now think about it. The whole promise hasn't yet been fulfilled.
No, it hasn't.
But he did obtain the promise in that his seed multiplied greatly.
There's the first part.
Okay, so it was one facet. So God has the integrity that we say God has,
will he follow through?
That's the big question. There's more of that promise to come. When is it coming? What does it look like when it gets here? Because God made the promise, therefore it is a guarantee.
Here it is. It is impossible for God to lie.
Right.
That's a promise.
And when you look at that, now look, folks, depending on who you are, and if you're listening and you're not a Christian, you're saying, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. Well, from our standpoint, it is impossible for God to lie, because God put in place a plan from the very beginning. God allowed sin as part of the plan from the very beginning, and he knows what he's doing. And to me, see, that is the greatest source of comfort in my life,
mm-hmm.
to know that God has a plan and will make that plan work exactly the way he wants it to.
Even though Satan's trying
right.
to change.
So even though
his
there's
plans.
There's contradictory action in place,
mm-hmm.
God still has got it in control. Let's get back to very quickly here the following through the lesson from Ann Corwin to the kids in terms of resolutions and so forth. This just puts some icing on the cake here.
And the fact that you've broken up the school into small individual schools, you now created
skip that one, Fred. I'm sorry. Number nine, that was my fault.
And when they come in and they've actually fulfilled that promise, you want to say to them, you know what? You said you were going to take your ball out and share it with all your friends. You promised me you were going to do that, and that's exactly what you did. That's great. That's what we do in our family. So when you think about resolutions and you think about promises with kids, don't just ask them to promise, or don't just promise them, especially if you think you might not be able to keep your promise. It's not a realistic one for you as a parent. But think to yourself, I want to teach my kids the concept of resolution and promises. And the only way you can do that is be concrete, show them when they did it, and then congratulate them when they do and say, hey, you should be so proud of yourself because you promised and your promise came true.
And that's inspiring.
It is.
And that other soundbite that we didn't hear that Fred started to play because I didn't tell him not to was from that Locke High School in California. And it was saying that a promise by this organization was made by Green Dot, and they kept the promise. And they transformed the life of everybody involved in that school. That's
wow.
an enormous thing. And that's the power of keeping promises. God keeps his promises. Now, Jonathan, here's a tough promise that God made that he kept. Amos 3, 1 and 2.
Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
And it's like when you hear the first part, you only have I known of all the families
Isn't
of the
that
earth.
Wonderful?
You say, yay! Therefore, I will punish you.
Oh.
and what that does, though, is, it creates the integrity. And that's the key of promises. Promises are built on integrity. The question, folks, is as we look at ourselves, we wrap up this hour and get ready for the next hour, where is my personal integrity in relation to the promises that I make to others and in relation to the promises I make to myself? Because, that's the other part that we haven't even touched on. When we promise ourselves something, nobody else never necessarily knows about it.
That's a good point.
Do we keep that promise with the same degree of intensity that we keep a promise to others? And if not, Isn't that saying that our integrity is lacking in that area as well? Folks, promises are a serious, serious part of our lives. Stay with us for the rest of the conversation. If we're not on you in your area for the next hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net, click on Listen Live, and stay with us for the conversation. Please leave your comments on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you there. But in the next hour, becoming better promise keepers and God's promises that He made to the whole human race. Is He keeping them? If so, how so? For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all that. But till then, how reliable are your promises? Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "We must not promise what we ought not, lest we be called on to perform what we cannot." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, how reliable are your promises? And our theme text comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
So the idea in the first hour, Jonathan, we were looking at what makes up a promise. Remember, there are three different kinds of promises.
That's right. Self-committal, covenant, and a vow.
Right. So self-committal is I'm giving you my word. A covenant has some kind of ceremony attached to it oftentimes, especially covenant of God in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a good example of that. And then a vow. What was a vow?
Vow is to promise or to give something to God.
And when you promise something directly to God, me to God, the scripture says you'd better keep that.
That's right.
You had better keep that promise. So, folks, as we go into our second hour, how do we keep our promises? Not just our promises to God, though goodness knows those are the most important.
Absolutely.
But how do we keep the rest of our promises? How do we become better promise keepers? Now, we're not talking about the organization called Promise Keepers.
No.
But it's a great phrase. How do we become better promise keepers? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Go to ChristianQuestions.net.
Okay, so how do you become a better promise keeper? First thing, Jonathan, a promise keeper is humble.
Good point.
And you know what? We probably end up going back to humility as a starting point for almost everything we ever talk about.
It's critical, Rick.
It is one of the single most important foundational stones of a life. And humility, in my mind, is an accurate assessment of one's self. And that's an important place to start.
It is. And when you make a promise, as I talked to you in the first hour, Rick, by God's grace, I'll fulfill this. With God's help. Because of myself, I'm weak. My flesh is weak. I can't do it alone.
And that's showing the humility that is so important, because we're recognizing our faultiness,
yes,
of character, and saying we have faith that God will make up the difference.
Right.
And that's an important place to start. Well, Psalm 24, verses 1 to 6 is a great scripture that helps to put the concept of humility on the table and say, you know, listen to this.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For He has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place?
Now remember, Jonathan, in the first hour we talked about the promise God gave to man. God gave man dominion over the earth.
That's right.
He didn't give them the earth.
Good point.
It says here, the earth is the Lord's and all that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But He gave man the ability to have dominion over the earth.
And that promise was when Adam and Eve were perfect. That was before the sin, wasn't
it? Right. But they kept the dominion after the sin.
Even after the sin.
Right. He didn't take that promise away, but the earth is God's. Okay, let's finish the verse.
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation.
So in this context that the world belongs to God, it says those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. That means they're not promise breakers.
Those do what's right.
Right.
Do what's right.
And do what you say.
Right.
And that's the key. So to become a better promise keeper, first step is we have to be humble enough to realize our limitations and to know how to put those limitations into practicality in terms of the kind of promises we're going to make in our lives.
And humility brings us to a genuine appreciation of God.
And that, see, that's important because we can appreciate God. And I'm thinking, I don't think we quote the scripture during the program here, but Nebuchadnezzar. Remember the king in Daniel's time? He had an appreciation of God, but it wasn't really genuine.
That's right.
Until he was faced with 7 years of being
living like a beast.
Yeah, losing his mind. He came back from that, and his appreciation for God was true and deep and genuine.
Yes.
So that's what humility, and that's what he needed. He needed to be humbled. So let's go back to Howcast, because remember we're talking about the steps in keeping a promise.
That's right.
You've got to write it down. You've got to track it. You've got to set up your schedule so that you're going to be able to keep it. And again, this is a really short soundbite. This is step number four.
Step 4. Examine the consequences you will encounter if you break a promise.
Ooh.
Just a few words on that one, but very, very, very important.
Very powerful.
Right.
You don't want to break your promise.
Know the consequences of breaking the promise and how much our integrity gets hurt in our dealing with other people when we don't keep our promises. Jonathan, let's go to one more scriptural concept, then we'll go to the phones. A promise keeper is not focused on how things look. They're focused on what's real. And this is a great example of the difference between the two. Matthew 23, 27, and 28.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but the inside are full of dead men's bones and all kinds of filth. So you also on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness.
So Jesus is being very blunt with the scribes and the Pharisees and telling them basically, look, you're hypocritical. On the outside, you look great. Guess what? That's what a tomb looks like.
There's no integrity in
right,
there.
Right. But on the inside, it's death and garbage. If we are not keeping our promises, folks, we can look on the outside very nice. But on the inside, what is it? It's not good.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Even though Kathy does a good job, she does.
She sure does.
Two, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Rick promised he'd be there at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock now. Yeah, you must have been sweating it out. Where's Rick? Where's Rick?
Oh, that's right.
He promised.
With the blowout, but yeah.
Yeah,
he had a flat tire. You see, there are times when, things are beyond our control.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's one way of looking at it. Yeah, how reliable are your promises? Well, I think you mentioned the marriage contract already.
Yes.
You know what's sobering about the marriage situation, the tragedy of so many broken marriages, is that Matthew 19:6 says, "What God has joined together, let no man separate." You see how sober somber promise contract that is?
Yeah, very serious.
It's going against God. I like you might have alluded to this already, and I've heard you say this scripture in the past. I like that. Ecclesiastes 5, don't make a vow unless you can keep it. And within the first two or three verses of chapter 5, it mentions the emotions, how you make a vow, you make a promise with emotional, with emotions. Don't do that. And I'd like to leave you with this beautiful definition of love. That is, love is a principle, not an emotion. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
And that's interesting. Love is a principle, not an emotion. And if we love integrity, we will be better promise keepers.
Good point.
And that's really what it comes down to. Thanks, Julius, so much, as usual, for your input. And yeah, that week I had the blowout on the way into the studio. I did get here before we started.
You did.
But, 1 minute?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm like, it's okay. He'll be here.
We tried really hard. But anyway, let's go back to Locke High School. Again, this sort of wraps up the new look of Locke High School as a result of Green Dot organization coming in and reworking that high school, which was in a shambles. It was a place to go, not for learning, but for everything else. And here's the results.
I feel like I'm being pushed, even if I don't want to, or if I do, I'm being pushed to do something good.
I totally agree. If it was the regular lot, I'd be feel like I work like at a fast food restaurant or whatnot. But like my hopes of going to like a 4-year university has changed like tremendously.
I think it's come to the point now where you can walk on campus and know why the students are actually at school. They're here not because their friends are here, but they're here because they want to do something with themselves. They're here because they finally believe. And I think that you feel that culture at every single Green Dot school, including Locke.
And that was a promise kept. It was a big promise. It required a complete transformation of a whole educational system. But they kept the promise. And the students now go to school with the expectation of learning, with the expectation of, hey, I could go to a 4-year college instead of work at a fast food joint for the rest of my life.
That's huge.
It is huge. And it took integrity, and it took work, and it took effort. But those kinds of promises, when they come through, it's transformational.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about being a promise keeper. You know, there's humility. You're not focused on how things look, but rather focused on what's real. And a promise keeper is convicted in their direction. And that soundbite really showed that clearly.
It did.
That there was a clear direction we had to have, and James 5:12 says that about us as well.
But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment.
It's a simple thing. Look, if you feel the need to swear by this and that and the other thing, your promise is lacking something. Your word should be your bond. You should be firm in your direction. If you're a follower of Christ, get with it. And if you're not, you've got to look inside and examine what your integrity is made of. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Want to go to another soundbite, Jonathan. This is from positivelypositive.com.
That's good.
That's pretty positive. And this is Danielle Laporte speaking, and she says something very important here.
I'm going to give you the secret of success. It's right here. It's right now. Are you ready for it? Lean in. Do what you say you're going to do. No rounding up, saying I'll get it to you tomorrow, when really you mean maybe I'll get it tomorrow, maybe I'll get it to you the next day. No more leaving the room after you've made a commitment to somebody and saying to yourself, well, they didn't really hear me, and she's not really going to take me seriously, so I don't really have to do it. Just do what you say you're going to do. It's one of the most creative, empowering, godly acts.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It's such a simple thing. Do what you say you're going to do. No rounding up. No thinking, well, they didn't really hear. Just do what you say you're going to do. Jonathan, there's a great quote here that you really were laughing about.
This is great.
Norman Vincent Peale.
Promises are like crying babies in a theater. They should be carried out at once. I love that.
All right. Next point on promise keepers. A promise keeper is mature. We don't have time for the scripture, but it's Ephesians 4:14-15, not being tossed about like children by every wind of doctrine, but being firm.
That's right.
So if you're going to be a promise keeper, you have to be mature. And then the last one, again, we won't have time for the scripture, but a promise keeper is willing to mend his ways swiftly and generously. Because you know what? We all fall. We all make mistakes.
That's right.
And the example here in Luke 12:2-9 is that of Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus.
Now, what about Zacchaeus draws your attention to this being willing to mend their ways?
Well, he was a tax collector, and he frauded many people and took more than he was supposed to. And his life changed when he climbed the tree to look and to see Jesus. And Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to dine with you today. Whoa. And when he talked to Jesus and his whole family, he changed his life from that point on.
Right. And
radical change.
The first thing he says, half of what I have, I'm giving to the poor.
Right.
And if I've defrauded anybody, I will restore what I took from them
four times
over.
Yeah.
So he said some really great words. The question is, okay, does he keep those really great words? Or should I say, if we say really great words at that emotional moment, are we willing to keep those really great words? So we ought not to say anything we're not willing to do. Just
right.
Like Danielle Laporta told us, do what you say you're going to do. The people on the outside were looking at Zacchaeus with some doubts, but Jesus saw his heart.
His potential.
And Jesus embraced the promise that Zacchaeus had made. So promises, folks, being a promise keeper, critically important to your life.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? Have you ever made a promise to God? Do you feel the pressure of those promises? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, the question really for this segment is, well, what should we be promising to others? All right, if we're going to be promise keepers and we're looking at the importance of promises and the integrity behind promises, what should I be promising to others?
And do we feel the pressure of the promises we've given to God?
Right, because and that's where we're going to start. Shouldn't we promise God what's reasonable? What's reasonable to promise to God? Think about that. What is reasonable? Well, let's look at Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me?
Yeah, see, what should I give him? He's giving me benefits. What should I give him?
I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people.
So it's saying that I will pay my vows to the Lord. I will make good on the dedication that I have promised him because the benefits that he gives to me far outweigh anything I can give back to him.
This is King David talking, so it's only for him.
Yeah, you wish. Absolutely not. It is a prophetic statement for followers of Christ. That's what this is. Taking up the cup of salvation. Jesus is that cup of
That's
salvation.
Right. That ransom sacrifice.
If we apply that ransom sacrifice to ourselves, what do we owe the Lord? Everything, life itself.
Yes.
Pay your vows to God. And again, Deuteronomy 23, 21 to 22.
When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be a sin to you.
So, again, if you make the vow to God, you'd better pay the vow to God. So, what we should promise to God, if you're a follower of Christ, you've promised God everything.
That's right. Do his will, not your own.
Pay it.
Yep.
No compromising, no ifs, no I didn't feel good today.
For life.
Pay it. That's right. For life, because that's what you promised. Let's go back to Howcast again. Steps 5 and 6 on how to keep a promise. Again, very short soundbite, but very powerful words in just a few seconds.
Step 5. Make promises that you can keep. Step 6. Do not make up excuses that will deter you from fulfilling your promises.
Shouldn't these have been before you made your promise, before you organized it, until later you said, oops, I shouldn't have made that promise.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, you say, okay, I dedicate my life to do the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a promise that we can really keep?
Not without his help,
right,
and his grace.
And the thing is, we fall down.
Yes.
And but the promises to the followers of Christ in the scriptures are replete with encouragement for those of us who fall down so we can get up again.
Just like Peter.
Right. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. He fell down, but he got up again, and he became a great pillar of the followers of Christ. And so we need to be able to make promises that we can keep by God's grace,
mm-hmm.
and don't make excuses.
Good point.
That's the other thing.
That's it.
All right. So we promise God what's reasonable. We should promise our spouse the complete fulfillment of our covenant to them, and that is a statement that ought to be the focus of an entire program, and we will do a program on that relatively soon. Genesis 2, 21 to 24.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
That is a beautiful, beautiful promise about cleaving unto your wife and becoming one flesh. And that means you put her above and beyond all of the other things of this world.
And this is a commitment for life.
Right. And it's not to be trifled with.
No.
It is a covenant of God, remember?
Before God.
Right. It's a covenant.
And these witnesses.
Right. And you don't break that kind of a covenant. So you don't make it lightly, and you certainly can't break it lightly. Absolutely not. So we should promise to fulfill those commitments that we have truly made. Folks, we're talking about the kinds of promises we need to make. If you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we continue the conversation online. We want to hear from you some feedback on today's topic. Post it on a Facebook page where you can also see exclusive videos in our blog and our website for audio, video, CQ Rewind, and other free resources no one else has on the planet while studying the Bible and talking about today's Christian topics, only at ChristianQuestions.net.
CQ Rewind is a great resource, and I promise you it's going to be there for you every week, and I promise you it's going to give you something to look at and to consider and to think about. Just got to sign up for it at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, the full edition. We are going to go with this next soundbite about the Green Dot program at Locke High School, because this sort of wraps it up as a promise that was kept.
You feel like the school is more nice for you as a student to walk around and be part of your school, to tell kids that you come here. Before, it wasn't that. You feel embarrassed, like, I don't go there, I go to another school.
The promises that Green Dot said, they were going to make school better for us, the safe environment, just overall a place that we can come and actually learn. And so far, they're keeping a promise that LAUSD couldn't keep, which is let us succeed.
That's powerful.
That is.
They're keeping a promise to let us succeed. And these are kids speaking. These are kids that are given an opportunity. And just think about the doors that open up when you give children an opportunity to truly succeed. We, the adults, have to create the environment. That's what Green Dot did in this particular school. It's an inspiring story of a promise kept. And speaking of which, other promises that we should be making. What promises should we make to others? Well, we should promise our family the care that they deserve. 1 Timothy 5:8.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
That's a two-edged sword, that promise.
Promise to family.
Yeah, and it's saying, and you were saying during the break.
This is hard, especially in these economic times, to do that. It's a struggle.
So what do you do if you've lost your job and things aren't going well financially, and you know you've got this promise to take care of your family?
Well, the first thing, prayer.
Okay.
Lord, help me.
Okay.
You start with the Lord, and then work hard, find, be diligent, and don't just sit there. You got to take initiative, and the Lord will bless you as you're striving to provide for your family.
So this is a promise that's really built on personal responsibility.
Yes.
Not letting somebody else take care of you, but
no.
Going out and doing everything you possibly can think of.
To fulfill this for your family.
Right. And yeah. If you fall short, okay, you fall short, but not for lack of trying.
Exactly.
Not for lack of effort, not for lack of determination, not for lack of moving forward, and not for lack of faith and prayer.
And not an excuse to give up on your family.
Exactly. So that's a promise that we should make. And the scriptures tell us that, you know, look, if you're a believer and you're not doing this, you're worse than an unbeliever. So get with it. You know, don't slack off. Don't let things happen in your life, but go out and make things happen by the effort and the integrity you put behind that effort.
I like this order so far. Give to God, give to your spouse, give to your family. I mean, those are the three biggest I can think of.
Yeah, and it broadens out as we go through this. I do want to go back to positivelypositive.com, Danielle Laporte, because she says something in this next soundbite that I find just plain old inspiring in terms of keeping our promises.
You begin to value your word. You become more discerning, more selective with what you commit to. Your promises really become promises. Your love really does get delivered. You build trust for yourself. You build respect for yourself and from others. You become predictable in the most divine, sense of the word. And of course, at times, life will intervene and you can't do what you said you were going to do. And in those cases, you tell the truth and you tell it fast. You show up with sincerity and you alter the plan and you get back to the place where you can do what you say you're going to do.
I love that. I love that. And folks, again, if you want to see that all written out for you, that the text of that soundbite will be written out in CQ Rewind, the full edition. So that's why you want to subscribe to that. It's a free service.
At ChristianQuestions.net.
And she said, become divinely predictable. And basically what that's saying is, we touched on it earlier, Jonathan, God, when God says it, he does it.
That's right.
So if we can become predictable like that, what a great way to live.
That's a life of integrity.
It is, and it takes work. And if you do fall down, what did she say? Get up and tell the truth fast.
Right.
You know, if you don't, if you can't fulfill what you said, then face it quickly, face it fully, and face it with great honesty, and then move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we fall down, we have that ability to get up and to run toward keeping our promises. Another level of promises, we should promise the brotherhood our support. We talked about promising God, promising our spouse, promising our family. Now promising brotherhood our support.
Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ.
So we're told this is what we should do. And if we are followers of Christ, we ought to be living that verse.
And I was thinking, this is not only spiritual, but temporal, emotional. Emotionally, it's doing what you can to help and support those believers among you. And I remember the deacon's job was to help the widows when they had no family to help them.
Right.
In the early Christian church.
Now, one thing about bearing one another's burdens very quickly, one of the things we're not supposed to do is take somebody's personal responsibility away from themselves and bear it ourselves.
Good point.
We're just supposed to help them bear the weight of their personal responsibility.
Excellent.
It's a big difference there, and that requires wisdom, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We should promise the brotherhood our prayerful devotion. We keep talking about and going back to prayer.
Yes.
Well, here is our prayerful devotion to the brotherhood, James 5:13-16.
Is any among you suffering? Then he must pray. If anyone cheerful, he is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
So the idea of mutual accountability. So it's not just me promising you, but it's me promising you and you promising me and we promising one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because that mutual accountability and that mutual prayer, it changes things.
That's right.
And that's a promise that we ought to make and obviously ought to keep. The next level of promise, so we've got the promise to God, promise to our spouse, promise to our family, promises to the brotherhood. Now, the next level is we should promise all men our respect and love. All men, not just the brotherhood, all men. Galatians 6:9-10.
Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
So, Jonathan, this gives you a sense that when you read all these things, it's like, man, life, there's too many promises to keep. And there are a lot. But if you're going to live a life of integrity, and you're going to live a life of spirituality, and you're going to follow after Jesus, then that's what you signed up for.
That's right.
You signed up for all of these different levels of promises. And amongst them, and important, is don't forget the world, the people around you.
Yes.
So what if they're not believers?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly. Let us do good unto all people, especially of those who are of the household of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But do good to all men, because that's part of it. That's what Jesus did. That's what we ought to do. We ought to promise ourselves that we will live that way, and then we are to live up to that promise. And finally, Jonathan, last thing, this type of promise that we ought to promise, we should promise ourselves a decisive devotion.
Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So it all comes back around to we promise God, we promise our spouse, we promise our family, we promise the brotherhood, we promise the world around us. Don't forget to promise yourself.
That's right.
Promise yourself you're going to live a devoted life. choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I know we've decided we're serving the Lord. Have I decided that in my daily life, every day of my life? Because, you know, when every morning we wake up, we have to make that promise all over again.
Good point.
Because, again, a promise should not just be empty words. It has to be words that are backed with actions. That's a true promise, and that's the kind of promise, that's the kind of thinking we ought to adhere to every moment of every day.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? If God promised the earth abides forever and all will come to the knowledge of the truth, do you believe it? Oh, by the way, it's not conditional. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how reliable are your promises? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, as we go into our last segment here, we're going to be looking at what are God's promises to the world. And sort of as a precursor to that, you know, December 21st, according to the Mayan calendar, the world comes to a crashing end.
Oh, no, it does. I had so many things I wanted to do.
Next Sunday, we're actually going to be looking at that in some detail. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Armageddon and all of those kinds of things in the context of that. And, you know, is the world really going to end December 21st? But this segment, Jonathan, is designed to look at the promises that God made to the world in general. And he made several. We're only going to touch on a few. Before we get into those, let's go back to howcast.com for step 7 on how to keep your promises.
Step 7. Recommit yourself if you break a promise. Apologize to others if you let them down, and then get back on track.
Simple, straightforward, to the point. Okay, sometimes we're not good. Apologize, and then recommit. So face it, and then move forward again. Don't let it discourage you. Face it, move. If you're going to be a promise keeper, that's the way we need to live our lives.
Good point.
Now, God, fortunately for us, does not have to do that. Because he always keeps his promises.
He does. He can't lie.
And he explained that to us in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
I love that scripture because God is giving us a great big fuzzy security blanket. He is. He's saying, look, you can wrap yourself up in this. It's warm and it's secure. When I say it, it means I'm going to do it. Take that to the bank. There is no variation on that theme.
And another point is, you may not understand it,
right?
But it's covered.
Right. And matter of fact, next week we're going to be going over a lot of the things that don't seem to make sense. If you've got have a God of love, why are all these things happening? Well, next week we're going to be talking about that, so you sure want to tune in for that next week's program. God has promised an ending to this society. Now, he promised. Remember, okay, so when he says it, when he promised, it means it's going to happen. And it's an ending to the society of sin and death. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 13, and this is actually the context of our theme verse that we haven't even touched on yet.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat.
And that doesn't sound good.
Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
That sounds really bad, as a matter of fact.
Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat.
So you've got this thing, and he keeps repeating himself, melting and burning up, and melting and burning up. Does that mean the earth actually burns up? Does that mean it's, you know, crispy critters? I mean, is that what we're looking at here? Or is there something more to that? And I think the next verse helps to put this into very clear scriptural perspective.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
So that does that mean that there's going to be another planet Earth in some other solar system that everybody's going to be miraculously beamed over to or something?
I don't think so.
Well, why don't you think so?
Because God promised the earth will abide forever.
And we were talking again during the break, and the word for new means a renewed.
Renewed heavens, a renewed earth.
So in which righteousness dwells. That's a promise of God.
Yes.
So you can't take that lightly. You can't say, well, okay, that doesn't really mean what it says. There's something very significant to that specific promise. Very, very deep and very significant. Jonathan, let's do one more scripture before we go to the phones, because we see that God has promised an ending to this society of sin and death. He has promised and prepared a heavenly reward for Jesus' true followers. Okay, so you've got the world in one promise. Now here's one specifically to the true followers of Christ.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
So that is very clearly, strictly a heavenly promise.
Right.
The last one was a promise about earth.
That's right.
So those are two different promises,
mm-hmm.
obviously for two different classes of people.
Right.
But both are promises.
Yes.
One is earth, one is heaven.
Right.
Interesting.
It is.
God made the promise. That means he's going to keep it.
There you go. Well, Rick, let's go to the phones, and we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Acts 26. Our hope to attain to that promise is they fervently worship God day and night. The cause of many a broken promise is pride. We make promises rashly, casually. We promise as a means to a goal, to please others, or to force ourselves to do something. We trust only ourselves. Ruth 1:17. May the Lord do so, and so to me. We cannot keep a promise without God's help. Before promising, we should reflect on what we intend to achieve by that promise, and at the beginning of that promise, ask God for help and trust in God's help. Ask God to make our promise His. Psalm 132, 4-5, I will give my eyes no sleep, my eyelids no rest, till I find a home for the Lord.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
Very, very well said. Before we make a promise, we need to pause and consider. Because if we're going to make a promise, that means that we're obligated to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the smaller promises, we ought to be obligated to. And obviously, the bigger the promise, the more covenant-like it becomes, and the more vow-like it becomes, the deeper our obligation is, and therefore the more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to be living on a different level. And again, Jonathan, as we begin to wind down the subject, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
It seems like we live in a world where promises are somewhat old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't seem to belong. Promises are broken so easily and so nonchalantly that we just accept it as, oh, that's just the way life is. No, it's not the way life ought to be. We ought to be people of our word. We ought to be people of integrity. And I just want to go back to the last verse of that song that we started the program with. This is an oldie. Promises are for keeping, and again, we're playing the oldie because we want to reinvigorate the thought, the old-fashioned thought of living according to what you say. Simple. Please keep your word. Oh, promise me. And that is sort of an old-fashioned approach to something that has lost its luster. The concept of promise has lost its luster in the world in which we live. And what a shame. What an outright shame it is that we don't live up to our word the way we ought to anymore. So, Jonathan, as we wrap this up, we're focusing on the promises that God has made. Now, he has made several promises to the entire world.
That's right.
We're only
That's
touching right. on maybe three here in this segment, and there are loads more. And the interesting thing about these promises that God has made to the world is he's made them to the whole world.
That's right.
Not just the followers of Christ, but to the whole world. And when you look at the scripture, now again, folks, go back to 2 Peter 3, 10 to 13. It talks about the world being burned up and, you know, heat and fervent and all that. And yet, he says, there's new heavens and new earth, renewed heavens and a renewed earth. So you look at that fire as a symbolic fire. What does fire do? It does two things.
It destroys.
And it purifies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what fire is in the scriptures. That's the symbol that fire fulfills. Purification and destruction. Destroy the old, purify what's there so it can become renewed.
It makes so much sense to destroy this present evil world.
System.
The system.
Right.
That's right. And then replace it with the system of righteousness.
Right. Exactly. And that is what God has promised as a destiny for all mankind. All of them. It's a good destiny, and it's an earthly destiny. Now, that does not take away from the fact that God promised heaven to the followers of Christ.
Right.
There is no question, there's no doubt about that, but there is an additional level of promises in the Bible that we look at that are from God that we just, for some reason, don't talk about so much. Let's consider Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4.
Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
So this is interesting, Jonathan, because this is very much a prophecy that takes place on the earth. It's very obvious.
Sure.
And when it says, out of Zion the law shall go forth, Zion is representative of the true followers of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So out of Zion, out of heaven, where they're promised to go, the law shall go forth.
And from Jerusalem.
From Jerusalem as a capital of the world. Let's see, to me, this is I get goosebumps.
And it says, many nations shall come.
So nations, lots and lots and lots of people that are not shown as being followers of Christ because they're not in Zion. Okay? Now, what happens here? Here's the promise. Continue, verse 3.
He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken.
See, now let's start with the last phrase, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So, you remember the old movie, The Ten Commandments? So let it be written.
So let it be done.
Right. When God says it, consider it as good as done. Now,
yes,
it might not be finished yet, but it will get to where he says it will go. Where does God say it will go? He says he will judge between many peoples, he will rebuke strong nations, and what are those nations going to do?
They're going to learn war not anymore. There won't be fear.
So the implements of war
gone
will be taken off of the scene, and they will be transformed into implements of building and development.
And everyone's going to sit under their vine and under the fig tree. Shelter and sustenance will be provided for every man, woman, and child.
And there's an implication in that along with that shelter and sustenance comes the responsibility to take care of yourself.
How about that?
You know, their own vine, their own fig tree.
Just like Adam tended his own garden.
Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
And again, you still have the dominion. It's God's earth. You have man being given dominion and being given now the implements to create a kingdom on earth under the rule of God and Jesus and the true followers of Christ. That's what this verse is saying. But it's for everybody.
God's, wow, what God, a promise.
God said it, and God will do it. Folks, are we that firm with our promises? This, to me, this is one of those promises, and this is not the only one that talks about this. You know, you think about this kind of a promise And you think about it, well, okay, well, you know, you guys are, because I know this is not a typical Christian perspective on the destiny of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, you know, you guys are taking that one out of context. Well, I would encourage you to look at other places, like Isaiah chapter 35, for instance.
Yes.
And you see the depth of the detail of the explanation, and it obviously is a world picture.
Yes.
Earth picture.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a load of those. And if God said it, folks, he has got to mean something by it. Let's not just take these things and say, oh, it's poetic, because it's not. It's truth.
That's right.
Now, truth can have a cadence like poetry, but truth has something in addition. It has a future reality that's guaranteed to be. And that's what the promises of God are.
And he will judge between nations. The day of judgment, there's a connection there.
And, you know, the day of judgment isn't necessarily a happy time. And actually, we're going to talk about that some next week. Folks, look, bottom line is, promises are there to be kept. They're made to be kept. God promised, and he will deliver. What about you? You know, the scripture in Thessalonians says, faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Are we faithful to our word, and are we willing to do whatever it takes to bring it to pass? God is, God has been, and God will be, and it's all good for the world of mankind because God promised. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We love talking with you today. This is an important subject to take home with you and to apply right now. How reliable are your promises? We'll be back again next week with another subject, but till then, leave your comments on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you on the blog. Till next week, make a promise and keep a promise. Think about it.